open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
From the front office,
we'll never be totally satisfied till we win the championship.
Yeah, we have a lot of young players on this team and new coaching staff. I think we're happy about it.
To the coach's office.
I'm enjoying the interaction with the coaches. I'm enjoying working with the players. I enjoy the process.
From the Browns of the present.
I'm thrilled to be where I'm at each and every day to play quarterback here.
I am a threat. I'm on the football field. I can possibly get that football. And when I get the football, you better strap your helmet on tight, you know, make sure all your chin straps buckled up because it'll take you for a ride.
To the Browns of the past.
Bernie Kosar joining us.
Brian Seif.
Jerry Shirk.
Clay Matthews.
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Bryson pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Another heartbreaker Monday here in Berea. 2017 loss to the Arizona Cardinals. You know how it went down in overtime. Tough one to swallow, but I guess this has been happening to this football team, to the fans of this team, time and time again. And we saw another one come apart in Arizona, in Glendale, Arizona. Was there to witness that, and I'll tell you, it wasn't any easier to see in person than I'm sure it was on TV, for those of you, many of you who were watching. Anyhow, the Browns find themselves with another loss to deal with and a short week to prepare for their next game against the Baltimore Ravens. We are going to, as painful as it might be, we are going to look back at yesterday's game. We're going to have Bernie Kosar with us to help do that, as he does on Mondays, and get into what he thought about Seneca Wallace's performance. Lots of Seneca Wallace discussion throughout this show, but Bernie Kosar, I know, will have some interesting takes on that. We'll also have the roundtable together. We'll have Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, along with Doug Deacon, his partner from the Browns Radio Network, and Tom Withers from the Associated Press, and yours truly. The four of us will sit down and discuss the game and, again, state of Browns as we enter now the final two weeks of the season. Week 16 coming up shortly, as is Christmas, and I'm not sure which one I'm least prepared for or am more taken by surprise by, I guess. Both are kind of catching me off guard here. Anyway, we do a poll question each day on this show, on the Browns official Facebook page, sponsored by Quaker Steak and Lube. The Browns fall 20-17 to the Cardinals in OT, so which of the Browns had the best game from that performance? Jabal Sheard, Chris Gokong, Greg Little, Brad Maynard. Actually, some very good choices from this loss. Yeah, it's a loss, and you don't want to see too many positive things, or you don't, from a loss, but there was some positive performance, I think. And among those four, you get some good choices, I think, to pick a player who stood out. Many of you already voting on that. We'll give you the results of that at the end of the show. We also take questions from you and answer them from the Browns official Facebook page and the Browns official Twitter page as well, to ask Vic. A couple Twitter questions I want to get to here. Sean at Hannah Sean is his handle. Do you think we need an offensive coordinator next year? I think it's got to be in the discussion, Sean, for sure. I think it's got to be in the discussion, and I think it's probably something that would be beneficial in the long run to Pat Shurmur as a head coach, as the big picture vision guy for the offense, and then have the input of a coordinator, another voice and another thought process that can mesh and blend with Shurmur's and come together and then put together, I think, something that would probably lead to some improvement if you get the right guy. I mean, just saying you're going to bring in an offensive coordinator next year, if that's what the Browns do, is not a, you know, is not a get well, you know, solve all problems. It's not a be-all, end-all solution to the struggling offense. But I do think it could help. And there, for those of you who think it's about lightening the load of the head coach, you could make the argument for that. I just think it's also about having another perspective and also just another focus, that someone whose job is to focus on that, you still could have the head coach heavily involved in focusing and perhaps even continuing with the play calls, but having that other guy that other person to bounce ideas off of. Miss Phenom, at Miss Phenom on Twitter, why can't the Browns finish opponents? Great question. This was another example of not being able to finish. It's a club that just doesn't have all the pieces it needs to do a lot of things right, and among those things is finishing. And I think it's veteran presence. I think it's not having enough players who've been through enough finishes to show others how it's done, to make those difference-making plays. And look, Seneca Wallace played mostly well in place of the injured Colt McCoy in that game. He made a difference. The offense responded to him and played better. But there wasn't a finishing deal done with him either. He didn't finish it off as a quarterback. The defense didn't finish the job as well as it played. Certainly special teams, which had done such a great job for most of the game, keeping Patrick Peterson from killing this team. But one return is all that it took in OT. And again, the defense with Larry Fitzgerald, all it took was that one pass play to give up, and that does them in OT. And the offense basically going three quarters of making some things happen. Still not enough. Two touchdown drives, that's for the Browns, by the Browns standards this year, unfortunately that's an accomplishment, but it wasn't enough. And then for the other team to get 10 points and put the game away, not put the game away, but I mean put the game in position for them to win it, in overtime. I mean, that's how games get away from you. The 10-point fourth quarter by the opponent that has no response from the Browns. So that's what's got to be solved, and that's how you finish opponents, and that's how you don't finish them, I guess, is what we saw yesterday. Okay, a conversation coming up in a couple of minutes with Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterbacking great, outstanding analyst who has a lot of thoughts about what we saw yesterday in Arizona. That's coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
I can't cool down with the spinning round and round.
Liberty Ford is giving two lucky fans the opportunity to kick off the new year with the Browns at the big game on January 1st. Right now, you can register to win a pair of club seats to the big game against Pittsburgh at Cleveland Browns Stadium on New Year's Day. Just log on to Liberty Ford's Facebook page and register to win. You can enter online daily to increase your chances of winning from now until December 26th. Go to Liberty Ford's Facebook page and register to win today. Visit LibertyFord.com for details.
Hey, Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your waste. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game day. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL. It's time for the MMA Minute, presented by Time Warner Cable Events On Demand. Unleash the power of your sports fan with Time Warner Cable Sports.
Over the weekend, Strikeforce lightweight champion Gilbert Melendez retained his title as he bested George Masvidal via five-round unanimous decision. The now 20-2 lightweight will remain a fixture with the Strikeforce promotion, as UFC President Dana White indicated over the weekend that several Strikeforce fighters will remain with the promotion despite Zuffa's purchase of it several months ago. Also on the card, women's kingpin Chris Cyborg Santos only needed 16 seconds to retain her dominance of the sport, stopping Hiroko Yamanaka via KO in the first round.
MMA Minute with Jordan Sherwood, presented by Time Warner Cable Events On Demand. Unleash the power of your sports fan with Time Warner Cable Sports. Get the latest MMA news by listening to Inside the Cage, Saturday mornings at 11 on ESPN 1540 KNR2.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
ESPN Cleveland's traffic.
271 southbound backing up Chagrin to 480. And then again around Broadway, Forbes, 40 east and westbound, slow Broadway to Warrensville Center. 40 westbound back in west, 130th to 237. 77 southbound backs downtown to 490. And then from 480 to Pleasant Valley, you've also got the Intervale southbound slow Chester to the west 14th Abbey exit. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850 WKNR traffic.
Little car wash on this football Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. This segment is brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. My producer, Dino, you know what to do.
Bernie, Bernie. Oh, yeah. How you can throw.
And with us now is the one and only Bernie Kosar, the first of his two weekly visits here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, another heartbreaker to talk about.
Yeah, Vic, it's good to be with you, but it's a tough Monday. You know, me and you have talked a lot about our Monday feelings, for right or wrong, yeah, are directly correlated to what happens on Sunday afternoon. And, you know, I know this sounds bad to say, but I thought we outplayed them yesterday and had the game. And we'll just, you know, to let it slip away when, again, we had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, but I thought we played better than the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
I thought we deserved the win yesterday.
Yeah, except for those two moments, really. You could break it down to those moments. Of course, the punt return where you didn't have Patrick Peterson killing you all day, but he does get that 32-yarder when it counts the most in overtime, and Larry Fitzgerald, who you had under wraps the whole day, and he gets that big catch. So it seems to me that this is yet another indication of where the Browns are not in terms of their ability to close things out. So from the standpoint of, you know, being in close games and then finding a way to lose those games, this is consistent to what this Browns overall profile is. And we're going to get into the quarterback thing, but regardless of who plays quarterback.
Yeah, the margin of victory is so tight in the NFL. And again, I think we've said this quite a bit, is the winning breeds winning, losing breeds losing, and learning how to win in the NFL is somewhat contagious, or needs to be contagious, because the just a play or two, incredibly, within the scheme of 130, 140 plays that typically happen within an NFL game between offense, defense, and special teams, and still just that plus or minus on a given play or two is the difference. And again, we played better than the Arizona Cardinals on a majority of those 140 plays. But they found a way to knock around and scrape around and be in the game. And at crunch time, they made a play or two more than we did.
Yeah, they did. And now let's talk about what Seneca Wallace meant to this performance, because it was noticeable, at least from where I was watching, that this was a quarterback who had brought a spark to the offense, clearly, and brought a different feel to things that I think his 9 years of experience allowed him to have. Just the way he saw the field, the pacing of it all, the decisiveness of it all. What did you see, Bernie?
Well, first and foremost, Seneca Wallace played a very good game yesterday. He was played exceptionally well for quarterbacking yesterday, especially for a guy who has not played a lot and gotten a lot of reps this year. Very impressive, very solid performance, and he's proud of himself, even though it was an L. But the thing that, you know, again, it's you're going to have to, you know, it's natural. People are going to say Colt McCoy, Seneca, the future, that type stuff. Playing in the Midwest, in the Northeast, in November and December, playing those caliber of defenses like the Ravens and the Steelers, and no disrespect again to the Cardinals, I'm not trying to slam them, but those kind of games in nice weather, with a nice new stadium, with a lot of Browns fans that were there yesterday, and against the Cardinals that aren't the type of, they are not the level of defense of the Ravens and Steelers. Really, really, it's a shame for Colt that, you know, he didn't find a way to get himself out there, because those are the type of games you really want to play in December, because very few times do you get that pretty weather, that nice weather, and not the most hostile of environments.
No, it really wasn't. And, yeah, there was a noticeable Browns presence in that crowd, again, not surprisingly, in a nice weather area. But to go back to how Wallace played, the numbers, 18 of 31, 226 yards, had the touchdown, of course, with Greg Little. And what I saw that was so impressive, too, from him, and again, I don't know that I didn't see spectacular work. I didn't see a guy who makes you say, "Oh, this is the Nirvana quarterbacking that we, you know, been waiting to see from the Browns all season." It wasn't that, but what was really good about it was the way he extended plays. And I think in this league, and you're seeing this for the most part, is, you know, those are the quarterbacks who are having success. And to kind of take it within the division, you look at Ben Roethlisberger, the story of his career is a guy who just makes things happen on movement. And what I like isn't just the moving and keeping the play alive, but when things are covered on his first read or second read and the side of the field that he's looking, that he has this vision thing where he was taking it to the other side and making a play that way.
Yeah, right on, Vic, right on. I mean, not only, again, for not playing, did he have the sense of timing that the offense mandates with the throwing, and throwing quick and precise and accurate. He had that for not playing a lot this year, which was impressive. Those half dozen to dozen plays where the play breaks down, his ability to ad lib, get to the second level, to the second, third receivers, to decoy receivers by running and keeping the play alive, was really impressive. And nothing more so than the Greg Little touchdown. I mean, there's a blown coverage. They have a linebacker on Greg Little.
Right.
It's a 10-yard in, supposed to be going down to the right and down and across to the left over the middle. And Seneca breaks out to the right. Greg Little, for a rookie, senses and sees that, breaks off his route, goes, does the scramble rule deep and back away from Seneca, but to the same side of the field, and they both run the same page, and boom, you have one of the longest touchdown plays of the year. Very, very pretty to watch. Very impressive to see.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We take a look back at yesterday's 20-17 loss to the Cardinals in overtime. Bernie, the receivers were such a big part of this story as well, and especially you talk about Greg Little being part of that broken play that results in the 76-yard touchdown. But the story I thought of his performance was what? He hung on to the ball, and that the receiving core as a whole did a nice job catching the football, and again, catching the football. It sounds like the most fundamental thing, but that had not been the case, and that really was a problem for this football team, and especially for Little. I thought I saw the receiver group, and again, especially this rookie, grow up a little bit yesterday.
Absolutely. And again, not to make excuses, but the facts are that was a nice stadium in nice weather. And sometimes in colder weather, windy weather, your focus on the ball and your ability to catch is not as easy to do. But they took advantage of the climate yesterday. They took advantage of the nice throws. They took advantage of the defense. And they made the plays they were supposed to make. And more importantly, they made plays that maybe they weren't supposed to make by being creative and just being football players, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah. By the way, I learned something about the roof of that place, which they had open before the game, but it was really overcast and, you know, some threat of rain, and I guess they've never had it open when it rained there. That's what one of the state workers told me, but it takes only 10 minutes to close it, so they did close it right before the game started, so it was as perfect a condition, as you said, as you could have, and it's a beautiful place, and hostile. It's not hostile. It doesn't feel, at least, feel that way, and I think you're right. Those are all the elements that do help you as a road football team. The defense, Bernie, Jabal Sheard just doing this amazing thing that he does with the pressure that he's able to bring, the pass rush that he brings, and I'm not going to go as far as to say he's unstoppable, but he's working his way into, I think, the kind of career where we're going to see him as a defining defensive end for this football team.
Well, first, to your point about the stadium, the Browns backers throughout our country and throughout the world are some of the most passionate, awesome fans we have. And out on the West Coast, the Southern Cal Browns backers and some of the people out west in Arizona, they do an awesome job of supporting our team. And you could see yesterday all the jerseys. Heck, I even saw some 19 jerseys out there.
I did, you know? Too. That's so, right. Yes.
And,
some
and
Bernie Kosar jerseys.
A friend of mine even was showing his Bernie Kosar fat heads. So I felt honored with that. But
to see
Jabal Sheard, really, I mean, you don't want to say unstoppable in the global sense.
Yeah.
But yesterday he was completely disruptive to their offensive line and to John Skelton. And his couple sacks, his constant pressure, his changing the line of scrimmage, moving it back into the backfield, was evident through the course of the game. And again, you hear all this time the rookie wall towards the end of the year. Him and Phil Taylor have done a really nice job of really not playing like rookies, playing like really good football players.
Excellent breakdown, as always, Bernie. Appreciate it. We will catch up with you at the end of the week as we look toward the Christmas Eve game at Baltimore.
Happy holidays. Looking forward to it.
Same to you and your family, Bernie, and appreciate always having you aboard. All right, much more is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Our year-end savings have arrived at Liberty Ford. Liberty has hundreds of pre-owned vehicles in stock now, less than 10 grand. That's right, $14,000, $13,000, $12,000 vehicles, all priced under 10 grand. Visit LibertyFord.com for pre-owned vehicles with special internet pricing, all makes and models. Rates as low as 1.9%. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty is in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermillion.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop in your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Bucket at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Calling all Browns fans, you're only a road trip away from America's premier sports museum and showplace. No season is complete without a trip to the mecca of all that is football, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Celebrate pro football's history, the legends that have played the game, and the NFL's most recent stars and record-breaking moments. Plus, save money with your Cleveland Browns game ticket. Show your ticket at the box office window and save on admission. For details, visit ProFootballHOF.com. Hey, Browns fans, are you heading down to Cleveland Browns Stadium this season? Discount Drug Mart can help you save at the game. Stop at your local Discount Drug Mart today to save 20% at the concession stand, merchandise stand, or at the team shop with the Cleveland Browns Stadium voucher for just $8. Available at the Courtesy Center. Just another way we save you the runaround. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, Greeny.
Yes, Golic.
You know, part of being a real man is knowing how to take care of your car.
Then count me in as a man, Golic, because I know NTB is the place to go.
That's because NTB has the largest selection of name brand tires, and with over 1 million tires available every day, NTB always has the right tire for your car, truck, or SUV.
And don't forget, Golic, you can bring the car to NTB for all of your service needs, too. It's easy. They're open early, open late, and open 7 days a week.
So why pay outrageous prices when you can trust the professionally trained NTB technicians who are ASE certified? And I bet you didn't know, Greeny, that the best way to pay is with the NTB credit card that can be used at over 650 locations nationwide.
So, let's get the stats straight, Golic, because we know you're easily confused. NTB isn't just tires at great prices. They're vehicle maintenance, brakes, oil changes, repairs, and much, much more.
You got it, Greeny. NTB is keeping the world in perfect motion.
Hey, the Roadman, Kenny Rhoda here, and are you ready for the big finish event? The team at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge is, and they want to make you a deal you can't refuse. Like the 2012 Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4. Lease it right now, starting as low as $259 a month for 36 months with no money down. That's nuts! I'm driving one of these babies right now and loving it. The look, the way it handles, the all-weather capability, and the fact that it's a trail-rated vehicle. I can go anywhere and do anything in my 2012 Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4. Check out what I'm talking about. Take it for a test drive at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the historic Bedford Auto Mile. Maybe you're not into leases and you want to buy. Even better, how about a starting price of $20,500 on that brand-new 2012 Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4? The big finish event is happening right now at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the historic Bedford Auto Mile. Call today for more info at 440-232-2121 and tell them the Roadman sent you.
Hi, this is Josh Cribbs. On behalf of all of us here at the Browns, here's wishing you and yours a safe and very happy holiday season. Go Browns!
On Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Little Eric Clapton, nothing wrong with that. And we thank you for spending this portion of your Monday with us. And also, Browns fans, learn how you can win sweet tickets and Browns merchandise in the Cleveland Browns second chance drawing. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/Ohio Lottery for more information. And this first portion of our roundtable is driven by Liberty Ford. We've assembled the roundtable to look back at yesterday's overtime loss at Arizona. With me, Jim Donovan from the Browns Radio Network. Jimmy, how you doing?
I am doing good, Vic.
All right, and Doug Deacon, also from the Browns Radio Network. Long ride back.
Long ride back, yeah.
Oof. And Tom Withers from the Associated Press.
Hey, Vic, how you doing, bud?
All right, guys. So, Jimmy, it was this team keeps redefining heartbreak and yes, found a way to do so yesterday. A game that it had seemingly had the... I'm going to use the word control. Maybe I'm using it loosely, but I thought it was reasonably so that it was controlling, that the Browns were controlling the game. And then to just give up those 10 points in the final quarter, and really all that was going right for the team through, let's just talk regulation first, started to kind of go kaput there. You didn't see the offensive plays. They were missing the things that were there and giving them life for the better part of the game. Then we saw that, and of course we know what happened in overtime, a return and a catch, two things they were doing a good job of preventing. Killed them.
Well, you know, I tell you, as you watch the game unfold, it almost had the same look as the Cincinnati game a couple of weeks ago. I mean, I thought a couple of times down there, there.
Right.
10-point lead twice. Certainly in the second half, they had the 10-point lead, and it looked like they were under control. And then it wilts away, and then someone needs to make a play, and their guy makes the play, and that's the way the game played out. But you're right, Vic. I saw the offense come to a complete stop, I thought, in the fourth quarter, and, you know, suddenly Hillis had nothing. It just seemed to me that they only threw to Greg Little in the late stages of the game. I don't know why that is, but and then, you know, it's just kind of you're waiting for a bad thing to come.
Yeah.
You know, it also shows you when they run the ball, they're pretty effective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right,
you get a balance going. But when the running game starts to stall, then the offense starts to stall. And, you know, you're on the road. You can't have penalties. They had 7 penalties in the second half. That
right.
was part of the problem there yesterday, too. But they did score in the first quarter, and they did score in the third quarter. So, you know, you're looking for positives. I guess we'll go in that direction.
Took a little late in the season, but they got those milestones.
I was a little surprised and disappointed that, you know, they came out and they looked great. I mean, Vic, you saw holes there for that running game that we haven't seen, you know, all season, really.
Right.
And then, yeah, I thought some of the play selection through some of the, I think they had 5 straight possessions where they punted, and just, I don't know, they're just no rhythm. Everything kind of went. I don't know if they did a nice job probably adjusting on the other side of the ball.
You know, and if you go back to even the Pittsburgh game on that Thursday night, I mean, there were 4 straight possessions in that game right before halftime where
right.
you just
right.
don't do enough with it, and you have pretty good field position. It just seems as though
just flipping
things,
the field.
Yeah, the flip the field, and the thing gets stopped.
Well, I think, you know, yesterday when they were running early on, they knew that Arizona was a little soft up the middle, and they had some success. Then Arizona reduced their defensive end, started putting them down inside, and almost had a 5-man line. And there's not enough speed really to turn the corner in this offense. And
exactly,
you know,
right.
so all of a sudden you're kind of they kind of dictating to you what you're doing because you can't if you can't run inside if you got all the bodies there.
I was going to interrupt, Vic. I was going to say that as well. Just the perimeter running game. There really is none.
No,
there's no try to pitch the ball outside and turn the corner.
I was
like
gonna say, we thought maybe Chris Obanaya would provide that, but you still have to get. Some that corner has to be created, and oftentimes it's not. But you know, we've gone into this discussion a few minutes into this, and we're saying generally that the offense for portions of this game and good portions of this game showed more life and some spark. And oh, by the way, there was a new quarterback in there. And how much did Seneca Wallace mean to this? I mean, I saw a guy who definitely brought a little more sense of urgency, it seemed, to things. Maybe a little more of a commanding sense, a leadership sense. Made good decisions, saw things, and I mean, he did not have a phenomenal game, but his game was, I think, good enough to at least open your eyes a little bit and see the supporting cast that essentially with Colt McCoy did not have much in the way of success right away seemed to snap to it. And your points, guys, that you're making about the way the running game was showing some improvement and just overall a greater sense of life was there. How much of that do we want to attribute to having Seneca Wallace in place of Colt McCoy?
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought he looked, you know, exactly what you said, Vic. He did look like it was fresh. I think that they might have needed a new look, too. You know, the guys on the team that, all right, let's see what the other guy can do. So I think that they were on their best behavior, and, you know, they wanted to play well for him. But again, I think you go back to the same thing. And, I'm not defending the lead lawyer here for the McCoy camp. But I do want to say this, that, I mean, you know, whether it's Wallace or it's McCoy, they just don't have guys that seem to, you know, get open and that you can throw to at critical points in the game. But I thought there was a little bit more pep in everybody's step.
Well, the opening drive kind of reminded you of the Pittsburgh opening drive where they did throw the ball down the field.
Yeah.
When they threw the ball down the field, it did, you know, help the offense quite a bit. And I thought Seneca, you know, in the past when he threw the deep ball, I always thought he didn't get enough air on it. But
right.
the one he threw to Mascot was a very good throw.
Yeah.
And they went after Patrick Peterson early on. And, you know, but after that, then they started going after that Richard Johnson all the time.
Yep. This isn't a knock on McCoy, but I just like the way Wallace looked down the field and made instantaneous decisions. You know, he wasn't patting the ball at all.
Right.
He was sure of where he was going.
Yes.
You know, some guys also made some catches, and you know, Little made a nice run after the catch.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't seen a whole lot of that over the last few weeks.
And you wonder, when guys are making those catches all of a sudden in ways that they hadn't before, especially Little, you just wonder if there was a little more sense of... I don't know what the word is, but a demand on the part of Seneca Wallace that you better, if you want to see this ball again, this game,
you better catch it. I'm not saying he spoke those exact words, but you just get the sense that there's a little more of a challenge. Whereas I think Colt McCoy has leadership skills as well. I think a different style. It may be a slightly more passive aggressive in dealing with it. Whereas a 9-year veteran versus a guy in second year in the league and first full season, there's got to be a difference in personality.
Well, and you know, Vic, I think that probably at some point, you know, and I think we've all admired the fact that McCoy never puts anybody under the bus, never shows anybody up, but there's probably going to be a point in time where he's probably going to have to get in someone's face mask and demand of something, and I think Wallace would. I do. I think any veteran quarterback would.
We're just starting the roundtable here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, of course, with Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers. Doug, as you talked about the running game coming around, and it was just interesting to see there was definitely more of an authoritative running style with Peyton Hillis, and we heard from Pat Shurmur talk about the fact that he got through okay the whole game and seemed nonetheless, you know, for wear as far as that was concerned. So do we think that maybe foundationally anything is getting together here at the right time for this team just to have that sort of I don't know if it's necessarily from Hillis himself, but just the O-line, just the things that we hadn't seen for much of this year?
Well, no, I think the O-line obviously with the games that go on, they're getting the chemistry that, you know, you just don't throw five guys together and say, okay, you know, it's like going to a Pro Bowl. You're playing with people you never play with, and you might have the best in the business, but if you haven't played together, I'd take a bunch of guys that played all season long. Yesterday, I still go back to that running play because in the opening drive and the success they had, because all of a sudden that opened up the bootlegs for Seneca. This is something that teams have really kind of, they've run people up the field to make sure Colt would not get outside the pocket. And Seneca, he's got a lot of foot speed. I mean, he can buy some time, and I think, you know, that was the big noticeable difference. When he pulls out of that pocket and runs, not many guys can catch him.
He extends plays very well, and that's where the biggest play came from. It was an extension of that was a broken play, the 76-yarder to
Definitely. Lowe. I want to backtrack just for one second. I thought Vic, you and Jimmy brought up a fascinating point about McCoy. I think the drops over the last couple weeks really affected him. You know, to your point, that he wouldn't, you know,
like a trust thing?
Yeah, like a demand thing, like you said. He may not necessarily have gone back to Little a couple times when Little was open because he didn't trust him. And if my guy's not going to catch the ball, why should I go to him? So I think there was a little bit of that at play. And just in terms, again, in the rhythm of the offense, I like the way, you know, Wallace extended plays. Have we seen Colt McCoy do that in the past? Absolutely. But I just think Wallace, and just the way he looked downfield, just had a better command of the whole thing, I thought.
Pat Shurmur talked today about, again, not finishing a game, and he sounded like a broken record, and it does sound like a broken record. So was yesterday, again, symbolic, Jim, of what we know this team to be, which is good enough to be competitive in a lot of games, but not quite good enough to finish the job?
Well, they're going to learn how to do this. I mean, at some point, they're going to get this.
Yeah.
And when I looked out there yesterday, Vic, I saw a lot of young guys playing, a lot. Especially on defense. I mean, I saw, Buster Screen's in there a lot. Right. I mean, Eric Hag is in there more and more. So, I mean, Maiava, of course, is in there because
Stanford.
They're all in there. So I think all of that, if anything's being served here in the last 5 weeks, it's that. They just need to learn how to do it. Now, I still think they need some guy on the field who's going to make a play and say, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
You know, you go up, you pull the ball down, or you step in front, you intercept the ball, you go all the way, and that's how you win this game when the game's hanging in the balance. Because let's face it, they have been there. You know, they were right there in Pittsburgh. They were right there in Cincinnati.
Right.
You know, they hung around in the Baltimore game, and that was 10-3, late in that ball game. And they certainly were there yesterday.
Sure. All right. We are, our first segment is in the books here on the roundtable portion post-game review of yesterday's 2017 overtime loss against Arizona. We're going to come back and give our acknowledgments. We don't call them game balls again after loss. Our acknowledgments of standout performers. Actually, there were some pretty good performances from the Browns in that game. And, of course, you are voting on those on the Browns official Facebook page. We'll announce those at the end of the show. Stick around for much more on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Your year-end savings have arrived at Liberty Ford. Liberty has more vehicles in stock than ever before, with thousands on sale to choose from, like the best-selling 33-mile-per-gallon Fusion, or lease the fuel-efficient Ford Focus for just $169 a month. That's right, lease the Focus for only $169 a month. Hurry in now to get the best savings of the year at Liberty Ford. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Benson, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of Wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Buckets at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
This is Jim Swayze. As shopping time gets shorter and with less time to finish and less holiday green in my wallet, Half Price Books is the one place I can hurry to find the coolest things that will wow anyone on my list. And I always forget someone. Half Price Books is a holiday treasure chest of amazing and unusual gifts for everyone. From kids to grandparents to your boss. Hey, that can be a tough one, but easily solved. Books on anyone's favorite interest or hobby. CDs, movies, lots of friendly folks to help. And almost everything's half price or less. Or send someone on their own treasure hunt. A $25 Half Price Books gift card gets your own jolly self a $5 coupon to come back and use in January. So hurry to Half Price Books today and get your last minute shopping wrapped up. Because Half Price Books has presents of mine in North Olmsted, Mayfield Heights, Metter, and Rocky River. Find out more or drop me a note at hpb.com.
Dreading winter, scraping ice off your windows, sliding into that cold car seat? You won't have to if you get a remote starter at Z-Bart. Now save $50. Out-the-door pricing. No ups, no extras, no hidden fees. Visit ZBart.com for the store nearest you.
HGR Industrial Surplus, the largest used industrial surplus showroom in the galaxy with the largest year-end clearance ever for walk-in customers only. Some items 50% off. Visit HGRINC.com or stop in just off the East Shoreway. HGR Industrial Surplus.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
Oh, this is nice. Little Grand Funk Railroad, little American band. Dave Dino, Dina Talley, my producer. All the wonderful rejoin that he music that he brings to us. And we're back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Browns fans, 2012 season tickets. They make a great holiday gift. Place your deposits now for 2012 season tickets and receive your choice of a Cleveland Browns ornament or a Browns winter hat, along with a holiday certificate to present to your favorite Browns fan. For more information on how you can place your 2012 deposits today, call 440-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com. And this second half of our roundtable segment, the one where we give our acknowledgments, this is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. Back on the roundtable here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press, yours truly, Vic Carucci, breaking down yesterday's 20-17 overtime loss against Arizona. And guys, the defensive side of the ball, and again, except for, and this is a big except for, oh yeah, the play that won the game. I think it up against Larry Fitzgerald, and I sound like an idiot saying that. But I mean, they,
or Butch Davis.
For four quarters, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, one of the very best in this game, if not the best in the game, is a quiet receiver. He got noisy when, of course, the Cardinals needed him to. But something about that I think deserves acknowledgement, and of course, the way this Defensive front played the way Jabal Sheard played from the pass rush standpoint. Jim, lots to like
there. Yeah, I mean, I love Jabal Sheard, and I enjoy watching him more and more each week. And you're right about Fitzgerald. I mean, there were times you just, other than if you'd see him line up, you didn't know he was in the game, and unfortunately then he flashed into the game. But I thought that they were great. Doug, I thought at one point they just got a little worn out up front because the game took on this pace of, you know, it was up and down.
Well, yeah, and you got people, you know, leaving because of the injuries, running out of gas. But the big thing is there's a lot of young kids that are getting experience. Mm-hmm. And not only getting experience, it's giving the people in the personnel department a chance to evaluate them in games. Because when you're playing an exhibition game, you know, a preseason game at the beginning of the season, you know, you're playing ones against ones for a quarter, then the twos and the threes. So, you know, the game speed is different. The intensity is different. But you're getting an idea to evaluate some of these people. And some of these young kids showed up. I mean, Jordan Cameron, here's a guy that, you know, all of a sudden he shows up. The problem, you know, becomes, though, when Alex Smith gets hurt, now we have Evan Moore and Jordan, you know, you're blocking tight ends.
Right.
That doesn't help you get the corner alive.
Mm-hmm. No knock to this defense, but, you know, they had a chance to make some big plays as well. Sheldon Brown had his hands on an interception that went through. And that's what Jimmy was saying earlier. You need somebody at the end of those games to make a play and say, here's how we're going to win this thing. I'm going to put the icing on the cake. So, you know, other than that, though, I thought the defense played, you know, pretty well. I mean, like you said, Jim, I mean, it was up and down, and they were a little worn out at the end.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, too, I mean, another great stand down there on that five-yard line
after
thing is ruled a fumble.
Yeah.
And,
right.
I mean, Sheard made a tremendous play.
Yep.
Do you have something right now?
No. You know, we were talking about the play calling. I thought that was probably the most bizarre play calling was the Cardinals play calling.
Yeah, when they had the turnover, you're right.
But I thought that was a great stand down.
No, it was a wonderful three. And Chris Gold Kong, I think he's found a real home and a strong side. I mean, I think you're seeing a guy. This is now a trend where he's playing very well at that strong side position, coming over from the weak side. And again, it's a fairly significant shift. But to me, I gauged one of the things we talked about and wanted to see, and Mike Holmgren mentioned this on this show last week, is that about effort and about gauging the engagement of these players all the way through. Who doesn't fall off the cliff? Who stays aboard? And you expect most of them to. We talked about that on this show. I think that's going to show up more on defense than almost any other place. When I watched that Saturday night game, for instance, and saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Dallas, it looked to me like a lot of Tampa defenders were just doing like waves to offensive Cowboy players running by. We didn't see any of that. I mean, we might have seen we saw a breakdown here and there, Doug, but on sheer effort, as best you can judge that, and you could use the entire team as the example, but I think defense, it really shows up there.
Well, they didn't lose the game because of lack of effort. They lost the game because of lack of big plays or you know, being able to counter the Cardinals' big plays.
Right, and that's what we saw. Also, from the standpoint, Tom, of coaching and strategy, we've heard some second guessing, certainly, of Pat Shurmur about conservative or ripping, whatever you want to call it. He's shredding, you know. He's heard it all, but I mean, especially as it applies to being conservative or whatever. Dick Geron is a defensive coordinator, the other new piece of this puzzle. Certainly, there's a lot less to be said about what he's done from a directional standpoint of this defense. It seems like he's put his guys, for the most part, in the right place.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. And, you know, we were talking about Fitzgerald earlier. I mean, it's one thing when A.J. Green goes up and makes a catch in traffic, and another thing when Fitzgerald could have called a fair catch and come down with that. I mean, there was clearly a breakdown there. Yeah. I don't know if Patterson was supposed to stay with him deeper into that route. I don't know, Doug, what was the...
I think they're trying to disguise the coverage, and in doing so, they got a little out of whack.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I think the Cardinals might have set him up pretty well, because it seemed like out of that formation a few times, they ran wells, and all of a sudden, I think, you know, somebody bit on a possible run.
You know, one thing I did notice yesterday, and you kind of visualize things, I thought they really missed T.J. Ward, you know, yesterday, and I've noticed it, but I thought yesterday, Young had a tough game, and I would have liked to have seen Ward. It was the kind of game where there was some space and he could make some plays,
Guy making that tackle at the second tier,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
Is it just me, or are you astounded at the number of injuries, the accumulation, and especially concussions that this team has had? I mean, you know, people talk about, well, you got a lot of injuries, maybe it was improper training, stretching, and or lack thereof in an off season that was no off season, and all these things that people want to cite to explain the rash of injuries. But concussions are not much you're going to do in the offseason unless
and
you
we're at 11,
grow a
by
thicker
the way,
skull. I don't know.
We're at 11 and counting.
Wow.
That's amazing. Inordinate number.
I mean, in
well, last year it was the high ankle sprain.
Yeah. But no, unfortunately,
that's a fifth.
Exactly
right.
Yeah.
So, any thoughts? I mean, it would just be horrible luck.
Mouth guard. That'd be the number one thing.
And
the thing is, you know, when they do get a concussion, the league, they check it out. I mean, they want to know what kind of helmet you were wearing,
right?
You know, and everything like that. And you know, of course, we saw the guy that uses his head as a wrecking ball over in Pittsburgh. You know, he got the suspension. I said just let the guy play with a leather helmet the rest of his career if he wants to use his head as a battering ram.
It's all going to catch up with James Harrison at some point, too, by the way. Nobody talks about that, but this guy's been delivering those things for a while as well.
Special teams, we didn't hear or see anything of Patrick Peterson again until it was the wrong horrendous time, the 32-yarder that he had in overtime. But this group, once again, factors into the story, and yet I thought we were going to tell a successful story, because we all figured and feared that Peterson would be the guy that would ultimately do some real damage. He does it with one return, and that's that.
Those guys, Vic, it's amazing. You watch a guy like Peterson, and you watch our guy Cribbs, and you watch Hester. When those guys are kind of fenced in all day, they really get itchy, don't they? I mean, that kid wanted to go. I mean, he was ready to go all day long. He was getting more and more frustrated when Maynard's punts were going out of bounds, or you know, he was getting pinned in. So, I mean, when he hit that, I mean, you just took a big gulp. Like I thought he was gone at one point.
And you see the numbers. He averaged 11 yards. Okay, on three returns for 11 yards. Josh Cribbs, three returns, 13.3. I mean, the Browns have the edge in that department. His long, Cribbs' long is 24. That guy's long is 32. I mean, therein is the difference. But when it came, but I guess when you're having all these injuries too, Doug, that's who's going to suffer the most. You have I don't know if Chris Tabor actually knows who he's going to have covering anybody at any point.
Oh no, I mean, you got young kids there to begin with, and that's been a little bit of the problem, I think, in the special teams. And then all of a sudden you go into the second, third guys. Makes it tough. I mean, for Brad Maynard yesterday, I mean, he had a great game.
He had a tremendous game.
He had to feel like some pitcher walking Albert Pujols. I mean, they kept booing him.
You know, I'm amazed though. He said after the game that he was trying to put that one to the sidelines.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the middle of the field.
But he did
have that problem down at Big Met when we're golfing.
He had the hang time. He had the directional kicking. I mean, they got what they could get on him. All right, gentlemen, time to acknowledge who we want to acknowledge from the Browns. We'll start with Jim Donovan.
Well, Buster Screen, I mean, he took his ball because he got his first interception. I thought Sheard was very, very good yesterday. I thought that Gokong was really good yesterday.
Yep.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay. Dougie?
I agree with Buster Screen. I think, you know, Little had his first 100-yard game, so you throw one in there. Sheard obviously had another great game. Bequell, you know, he played,
Bequell was
high in tackles for the thing. And Gokong had another nice day. And Maave looked like he, you know,
fit in yesterday very well.
Yep.
I concur across the board. I'm going to start with Bequell, though. JP is taking candidates today for NFL Comeback Player of the Year, and I can't think of a more worthy candidate than DeQuell Jackson. He's been unbelievable all season.
Yes.
And I agree with you guys on Sheard. Little had a nice game, Gokong as well, and that's a good call by Doug Amayava. He was very active yesterday.
Yeah, Sheard to me has continued to push himself more and more toward the role of a guy who is going to be a defensive end that we're going to talk about for years to come. Yeah. I mean, I know, you know, you want to get crazy and carried away. Rookie season's not even over, but I'm leaning in that direction. And Greg Little. Greg Little was, I thought, was special. A guy who's been maligned a lot for those drops, and a guy who, in working in concert with a quarterback, again, who's extending plays, whose game was really right for the broken play type of success that he was having, I thought showed me a lot by having the game that he did, and Buster Screen, and the other names. I concur with everybody else. All right, that'll do it. We will reconvene at the end of this week to talk about, of course, the Christmas Eve game at Baltimore. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, gentlemen, thank you so much. More is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Liberty Ford is giving two lucky fans the opportunity to kick off the new year with the Browns at the big game on January 1st. Right now, you can register to win a pair of club seats to the big game against Pittsburgh at Cleveland Browns Stadium on New Year's Day. Just log on to Liberty Ford's Facebook page and register to win. You can enter online daily to increase your chances of winning from now until December 26th. Go to Liberty Ford's Facebook page and register to win today. Visit LibertyFord.com for details.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Hey, Browns fans. Are you heading down to Cleveland Browns Stadium this season? Discount Drug Mart can help you save at the game. Stop at your local Discount Drug Mart today to save 20% at the concession stands, merchandise stands, or at the team shop with the Cleveland Browns Stadium voucher for just $8. Available at the Courtesy Center. Just another way we save you the runaround. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
Your American dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance. Everything from automobiles to ATVs, homes to apartments, businesses to life. American Family can protect it. And this personalized coverage all comes at a very affordable price. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Find an agent and get a competitive quote at AmFam.com or call 1-800-MY-AmFam.
American Family Insurance.
Life insurance underwritten by American Family Life Insurance Company. Your American dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance. American Family Insurance is a special deal for forward thinkers. Switch your auto insurance to American Family and you could save some real money with our new discount. Now that's something bright to think about. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Find an agent and get a competitive quote at AmFam.com or call 1-800-MY-AmFam.
American Family Insurance.
Savings may vary. See your agent for details.
Life is rarely patient. You can't wait 4 years to find that job you've always wanted. Get the skills you need to start over in as little as 1 year as a full-time student. Check out Staatenberger College's two-year accelerated diploma programs, massage therapy, and personal fitness trainer. When speed matters, think Staatenberger. Call Staatenberger College at 440-838-1999 or visit learnwhatyoulove.com. See what everyone is talking about. For more information about college graduation rates, median debt, and more, visit learnwhatyoulove.com. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, and eligible veterans can utilize their Montgomery GI Bill.
It's Chris Fedor, and I've been known to say a negative thing or two when it comes to Cleveland sports teams. When it comes to shopping for a new car, there's nothing negative to say about the team at Madonna Volkswagen. Madonna Volkswagen is Ohio's fastest growing VW dealer, and once you visit them on Pearl Road in Madonna, you'll find out why. Don't miss out on their annual Sign Then Drive event with zero due at signing. Right now, 36-month leases start as low as $190 per month for the 2012 Jetta and just $210 per month for the 2012 Passat, both with absolutely nothing due at signing, and both cars come with 3 years scheduled maintenance at no charge. Check them out at MadonnaVW.com and see for yourself. Every VW is on sale 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So lighten the load on your checkbook this holiday season and get out to see my friends Scott and Steve at Madonna Volkswagen on Pearl Road in Madonna or online at MadonnaVW.com. Experience the Madonna VW difference.
Leases plus tax and title and 10,000 miles per year.
Results from our daily poll question here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The poll question is presented to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. And the question, as always, after a Sunday game on Monday is, which Browns player performed the best? And this would have been, of course, in yesterday's 20-17 overtime loss against the Cardinals. The choices, Jabal Sheard. This was on the Browns official Facebook page. Sheard, Chris Gokong, Greg Little, Brad Maynard. All right, I voted for Little. I think he was, as I said during that segment, I thought he was the best performer on a day when you had, Sheard right there, Gokong right there. No bad choices among this group. Maynard's punting. And you said 67% of the many of you voted said Greg Little, for sure. And that is, I think it was a good call. Russell, I voted for Little. That 76-yard touchdown reception with an exclamation point. Give Shurmur an offensive coordinator in 2012, get some draft picks, and we're on our way next year. Barbie comments. They all played very well today, or yesterday. Just came up a little short, but a well-fought game. Thank you for those. All right, to our questions, which we have via the Browns official Facebook page. Rich, how do you think Seneca Wallace performed yesterday? I thought he performed well. He performed well. He talked about it during the show. Brought some spark, brought some energy, brought some urgency to the offense. Just that 9 years of experience showed up in a lot of what he did. Kevin asks, why are we playing more conservative than ever? I don't know if it's more conservative than ever, Kevin, but I can see your point on conservatism, and I think I'd prefer to see a little less of it at this stage of a season where this season, I think, is parts evaluation more than anything, mostly evaluation of what you got ahead. And I think it's also for a coach some of his chance to maybe do some things that he wouldn't ordinarily do in circumstances where you're playing for a playoff spot. Jerome, what is the biggest problem of this Browns team? Lack of enough talent to compete. They just have less quality players than the teams above them. I think it's about as simple as that, kind of a catch-all. But, all right, we want to thank, of course, Bernie Kosar, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, Kristen Ribelli, Pat McKenna, Dave DiNatale. We will talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily Drip by Liberty Ford.